Welcome to the Biology Boost podcast, your go-to audio guide for GCSE and A-level biology. I'm your tutor today, and in the next 10 minutes, we're diving deep into topic two, genes and health. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode has everything you need. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. Topic two is one of the most fascinating areas of the entire biology specification. It brings together genetics, cell biology, and health science in a way that's genuinely relevant to real people's lives. The central case study running through this topic is cystic fibrosis, a genetic condition that affects thousands of people in the UK. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly how a single faulty gene can cause a life-changing disease, and why that matters for how we treat and screen for genetic conditions. Let's start with the big picture. The topic covers the structure of DNA and how genes code for proteins, the nature of mutations and how they cause genetic disease, cell membrane structure and transport, especially how the CFTR protein works, inheritance patterns and how to use Punnett squares, and finally, genetic screening and the ethical debates around it. Examiners love this topic because it tests both knowledge and application. You'll need to recall facts and use them to interpret new scenarios. Right, let's get into the core concepts. First up, DNA structure and the genetic code. DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid, is the molecule that carries genetic information in all living organisms. It's a double helix, two strands wound around each other, held together by complementary base pairs. The four bases are adenine, thymine, guanine, and cytosine. Adenine always pairs with thymine, and guanine always pairs with cytosine. Remember, AT and GC, or use the phrase apples and trees, grass on quartz. A gene is a specific sequence of DNA bases that codes for a protein. The sequence of bases is read in triplets, groups of three bases called codons, and each codon codes for a specific amino acid. The order of amino acids determines the protein's shape, and the shape determines its function. This is the central dogma of molecular biology. DNA makes RNA, RNA makes protein. Now, here's where it gets really important for this topic. The CFTR gene, that stands for cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator, codes for a chloride ion channel protein in cell membranes. In people with cystic fibrosis, this gene has a mutation. The most common mutation is called delta F578, a deletion of three bases that means one amino acid, phenylalanine, is missing from the protein. This tiny change causes the CFTR protein to fold incorrectly so it doesn't reach the cell membrane and can't function. The result? Chloride ions can't move out of cells, water doesn't follow by osmosis, and mucus becomes thick and sticky. That thick mucus clogs the lungs and digestive system, and that's cystic fibrosis. Let's talk about mutations more broadly. A mutation is a change in the base sequence of DNA. Mutations can be substitutions, where one base is swapped for another, or insertions and deletions, where bases are added or removed. Insertions and deletions are particularly damaging because they cause a frame shift. The entire reading frame of the codon shifts, so every amino acid after the mutation point is wrong. This usually produces a non-functional protein. Mutations are random and spontaneous, but their rate can be increased by mutagens, things like UV radiation, certain chemicals, and ionizing radiation like X-rays. Most mutations are neutral. They don't change the protein because the genetic code is degenerate, meaning multiple codons can code for the same amino acid. But some mutations are harmful, and very rarely, a mutation can actually be beneficial. Now let's move to cell membranes and transport, a key section that links directly to cystic fibrosis. Cell membranes are described by the fluid mosaic model. Picture a sea of phospholipids. Each one has a hydrophilic, water-loving head and two hydrophobic, water-hating tails. They arrange themselves into a bilayer with the tails pointing inward away from water. This bilayer is fluid, the phospholipids can move around, and it's a mosaic because proteins are embedded throughout it like tiles in a mosaic floor. The proteins in the membrane serve many functions. Channel proteins form pores that allow specific ions to pass through. Carrier proteins bind to molecules and change shape to transport them across. The CFTR protein is a channel protein. Specifically, it's a chloride ion channel. In healthy cells, when CFTR opens, chloride ions move out of the cell down their concentration gradient. Water follows by osmosis, keeping mucus thin and watery. In CF cells with no working CFTR, chloride ions stay inside, water stays inside the cell, and mucus on the outside becomes thick and dehydrated. There are several types of membrane transport you need to know. Simple diffusion is the movement of small nonpolar molecules like oxygen and carbon dioxide directly through the phospholipid bilayer from high to low concentration with no energy needed. Facilitated diffusion uses channel or carrier proteins to move larger or charged molecules down their concentration gradient, still no energy required. Active transport moves molecules against their concentration gradient using carrier proteins and ATP energy. Osmosis is the specific movement of water molecules through a partially permeable membrane from a region of higher water potential to lower water potential. Now, inheritance. This is where genetics gets really practical. Cystic fibrosis is caused by a recessive allele. Let's define our terms carefully because examiners are strict about this. A gene is a section of DNA that codes for a protein. An allele is a version of a gene. The genotype is the combination of alleles an organism has. The phenotype is the observable characteristic, what you can actually see or measure. For cystic fibrosis, we use F for the dominant healthy allele and F for the recessive faulty allele. Individuals with genotype FF are homozygous dominant. They have two working copies of the gene and are unaffected. Individuals with genotype FF are heterozygous. They have one working copy and one faulty copy. Because F is dominant, they are unaffected, but they are carriers. They can pass the faulty allele to their children. Individuals with genotype FF are homozygous recessive. They have two faulty copies and will have cystic fibrosis. Because both parents must be carriers or affected for a child to have CF, we say CF shows autosomal recessive inheritance. Autosomal means the gene is on one of the non-sex chromosomes, chromosome 7 in this case. To work out the probability of offspring genotypes, we use a Punnett square. If both parents are carriers, genotype FF, the cross is FF times FF. The possible offspring are FF, FF, and FF. That's a 1 in 4 chance, 25%, of having an affected child, a 2 in 4 chance, 50%, of being a carrier, and a 1 in 4 chance, 25%, of being homozygous dominant. When a question asks you to predict the probability, always express it as a fraction or percentage and state the genotype. Examiners will also ask you to interpret pedigree diagrams, family trees that show which individuals are affected. Key rules. If two unaffected parents have an affected child, the condition must be recessive. If it skips generations, it's recessive. If it appears in every generation, it's likely dominant. Finally, let's cover genetic screening and the ethical issues around it. Genetic screening means testing individuals to find out if they carry a particular allele. There are several types. Carrier testing identifies people who are heterozygous for a recessive condition. They're healthy but could pass it on. Prenatal testing checks embryos or fetuses during pregnancy. Methods include amniocentesis, where amniotic fluid is sampled, and chorionic villus sampling, or CVS. Preimplantation genetic diagnosis, or PGD, is used during IVF. Embryos are tested before implantation. The ethical debates are important, and examiners often ask six-mark evaluate questions on these. Arguments in favor of screening include: it allows informed reproductive decisions, it can prevent suffering, and it enables early treatment. Arguments against include: it raises concerns about eugenics, the idea of selecting desirable traits, it may lead to discrimination against people with genetic conditions, it can cause psychological distress, and there are concerns about who has access to genetic information. Now, exam tips and common mistakes. Mistake number one, confusing genotype and phenotype. Genotype is the alleles, the letters. Phenotype is what you observe. Always state both when asked. Mistake number two, saying a carrier has the condition. Carriers are unaffected. A carrier has the genotype FF, one dominant, one recessive allele. The dominant allele masks the recessive one. Mistake number three, forgetting to complete the Punnett square properly. Always show the parental gametes on the outside of the grid, fill in all four boxes, and state the ratio of genotypes and phenotypes. Mistake number four, in questions about membrane transport, confusing facilitated diffusion with active transport. The key difference is energy. Facilitated diffusion requires no ATP. Active transport does require ATP. Mistake number five, in explain questions about CF, not linking the mutation to the protein to the symptom. The full chain is mutation in CFTR gene, faulty or absent CFTR protein, chloride ions cannot leave cells, water stays in cells by osmosis, mucus becomes thick and sticky, lungs and digestive system are blocked. For command words, when a question says explain, you must give a reason. Use the word because. When it says describe, just say what happens. When it says evaluate, you must consider both sides and reach a conclusion. When it says calculate, show every step of your working. Now, for our quick-fire recall quiz, I'll ask the question. Pause the audio and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the name of the protein that is faulty in cystic fibrosis? The answer is CFTR, cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator. Question 2. What type of inheritance does cystic fibrosis show? Autosomal recessive. Question 3. Two carrier parents cross. What is the probability of having an affected child? 1 in 4 or 25%? Question 4. What is the difference between a gene and an allele? A gene is a section of DNA coding for a protein. An allele is a version of that gene. Question 5. Name two types of membrane transport that do not require ATP. Simple diffusion and facilitated diffusion. Question 6. What happens to mucus in the lungs of a person with cystic fibrosis and why? Mucus becomes thick and sticky because chloride ions cannot leave the cell through the faulty CFTR channel, so water does not follow by osmosis, leaving mucus dehydrated. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section of your notes. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of the most important points for your exam. 1. DNA is a double helix made of nucleotides with complementary base pairs, A with T, G with C. A gene is a sequence of bases coding for a protein. 2. Cystic fibrosis is caused by a mutation in the CFTR gene. The most common mutation is a deletion of 3 bases, delta F508, causing a faulty chloride ion channel protein. 3. Cell membranes are described by the fluid mosaic model, a phospholipid bilayer with embedded proteins. The CFTR protein is a channel protein for chloride ions. 4. CF shows autosomal recessive inheritance. Use the notation F for dominant and F for recessive carriers. Are FF, unaffected but can pass on the allele. 5. Use Punnett squares to calculate probabilities. Always state genotype ratios and phenotype ratios. Genetic screening raises important ethical issues. Know both sides of the argument for evaluate questions. 7. In exam answers, always link mutation, protein symptom for full marks. That's it for today's episode. You've covered the full topic too, genes and health. Well done for taking the time to revise actively. Remember, the best way to cement this knowledge is to close your notes and try to write down everything you can remember. Good luck in your exams. You've got this.